Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New York City jazz drummer, composer, producer, and arranger Johnny Steele. We talked to him about his new 2022 CD called The Game and life coming out of the quarantine. During the varied quarantines and lockdowns of the past 2 years, he found himself caught with an unexpected excess of time on his hands, and this album is the result of that. Although he's only 21 years of age, he has been fortunate enough to share the stage and the studio with the likes of Wynton Marsalis, Matthew Whitaker, Emmanuel Wolcomb's John Faddis, and so many others. He was raised in a bi-coastal environment, born in Maryland, raised in San Diego. As a result, he was exposed to a vast array of music and musicians that eventually shaped him to get to the point where he is today. Dig this interview.
Yep. Hey, how's it going?
Well, what's up, Johnny Steele? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. You got a great handle for a jazz musician. I like the name.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Cuts right to the quick. I mean, it looks like something that should be on a marquee.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Before we get into what you're up to, music, you know, and live performance, how did you survive COVID, and how did that whole 2 year process change you? I mean, for all the artists out there, musicians got really rung to the ringer the most. So how did you?
Well, I mean, I was kind of in the boat of, luckily, I had a family that, and I still do, that really supports me. And I was able to go back and sort of, you know, live underneath my parents' roof, worry more so about completing school and just keeping a stable mindset during that time. But I did notice a lot of musicians around me going through the ringer. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely hit musicians very hard during that time. But I was able to survive through my family. I have them to thank for it. If I was just a lone musician with no support system, I probably wouldn't have gotten that far.
So your new album is The Game, and it's obviously coming out now with the world opening up. How
it
relieving
sure
is it to have, you know, to have an album coming out now with the prospects of, you know, live shows and all that good stuff?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's so incredible. I guess, like, yeah, just to continue to piggyback off of that last question, this entire album was written during the pandemic. So you could say that in a way, creatively, I was kind of thriving during that time because there was no outside distraction, and I was able to experiment with new ideas and with new skill sets. And that's how I kind of stumbled upon chess, and that became the theme of my album. I'm so excited for it to be released at this moment, considering that, you know, the world is opened back up to a certain extent, and we're seeing live shows again. And I just couldn't imagine a better time for this album to be released.
So you're originally from San Diego, and actually, just before we get into that, I took a road trip this summer with the family. We went to Colorado and then cut across through Vegas down into San Diego, and man, what a good time it was.
Oh my goodness, I can imagine. Yeah, I miss it. I miss it being out here in New York now. Like, ah.
Well, they're vastly different places. I mean, my dad was born in Brooklyn, so I've spent some time up there, but yeah, I mean, when you think about the landscape and how it rolls, I mean, even from Kansas City, I mean, we stayed in Imperial Beach, and just to be able to walk that close to the beach and to see that environment, like, what the hell am I doing here?
I mean, right?
Everything's flat. It's hot as hell. There's just nothing going. I mean, there's some things. I mean, I'm not bagging on it that bad, but it's still, when you get back from a place like San Diego, it's just like an adult playground.
For real. I mean, and a kid's playground too, you know, like the environment out there is just so friendly for everyone. And you can always rely on having good scenery, which is pretty cool, you know? And yeah, I noticed a similar thing because actually I was born in Annapolis, Maryland, and I lived the first years of my life there. And so when I made my way to San Diego, I was like, wow, like, this is what the world is like, yet I've been living in Maryland for this long, you know?
Yeah, that's wild. So you obviously a military family?
Actually, no. My family, my mom's a nurse, and my dad was in finance, and he got a promotion that led us to have to move to San Diego.
Well, if you have to do anything, that's the best thing to do.
That's a pretty
San Diego.
That's a pretty good move.
That's a good ultimatum. So I'm curious about, you know, growing up and how music and more specifically jazz became your world.
I grew up not in a musical family or in a musical area. I grew up, like I said, I was born in Annapolis, Maryland, and I grew up throughout my childhood in Severna Park, Maryland, which is like a town that's right alongside a river. You know, it's a pretty small neighborhood. It was full of athletes. So I kind of got taken through the gauntlet of sports when I was younger. I did everything from martial arts to lacrosse I played a little bit of ice hockey, and I did soccer, and the list goes on and on and on. And none of them really clicked for me. But my dad, God bless him, he is a huge music appreciator. So from very early on, he was always playing music very loud on speakers throughout the house. He noticed when I was a kid that I had a real interest in banging on things. So I would like play on tables, and my sister had a snare drum. My oldest sister had a snare drum, and I like waddled up to it like about around the time that I could walk and tried to like go bang on it with whatever I could find, you know. Having noticed that, he sat me down one day and put a pair of headphones on my head, and what came through the headphones was Tom Sawyer by Rush. That blew my mind. And Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush, actually became my first musical icon, my first idol. And in learning more about him throughout the years and in researching him and obviously listening to him and transcribing his stuff when I got a little bit older, I realized that he was very influenced by jazz musicians. And I was always of the mindset that, like, hey, if you want to be like someone, don't just learn what they did, learn about the people that they looked up to if you want to sort of embody a certain artistic style. And I didn't realize what that was going to lead to, but it turned me into a total jazz head. When we moved to San Diego, I got exposed to a lot of jazz through the high school jazz band that I was in. We went to essentially Ellington, which is where I met Wynton Marsalis, and that eventually led to me going to Juilliard. And we also had a very kind of popular extracurricular program that was led by Gilbert Castellanos, and he's one of the trumpet players for the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. And so I got to play with him a lot as well, and I just turned into a complete jazz nut from then on.
You know, you mentioned Wynton Marsalis, but you've also, you know, shared the stage with Matthew Whitaker, Emmanuel Wilkins, John Fattis.
Yeah.
You know, and you're in your early 20s. How did all of this transpire so fast for you?
They all kind of came at different moments. I would say that the majority of the majority of the people in the list that you mentioned, my connection with them definitely came through Juilliard. I got the chance to play with Emmanuel Wilkins when I was 17 because we were in the same ensemble together initially, and we got to play a whole lot together in that ensemble, and then that transpired into gigs outside of school. And then as far as Matthew Whitaker goes, he was he's my first like touring gig. I'm actually his drummer currently. I had just graduated. And we were friends, you know, during school. He's a couple years behind me, so he's still at school. He's gonna graduate next year. We were friends during school, and then I graduated, and I hadn't talked to him for a couple months. And then he picks up the phone, sends me a text saying, "Hey, we need you to sub for a tour in the Midwest." And I was like, "I'm on it. Like, this is exactly the kind of music that I want to play, and you're exactly the kind of person I want to play with." So that's kind of how that evolved. And then as far as John Fattis was concerned, I actually met him through Gilbert Castellanos in San Diego because he came to play in a big band show that happened at the Balboa Theater. And he came to the local jam session afterwards, and we got to play together because I was in the house band that night. And so that's how that connection was formed.
So before we depart your album, The Game, what do you hope a listener gets from this album?
I kind of hope that I've been thinking about this a lot recently because the start of this whole process was actually as a school assignment because it was during the pandemic. And Ulysses Owens Jr., who ended up being the producer, was also my ensemble coach at the time. And he was like, "Hey, you're the only person in our ensemble who isn't here." You know, everybody was at the school doing their classes in person at the time, and I was still in San Diego. And he was like, "We got to figure out a way for you to to participate. And he said, well, let's put an album together, man. Because at that point, we had developed a good relationship, and I could tell that he really believed in me. Throughout the process of creating the album with him, we discussed purpose a lot. And we discussed what it is that we ultimately wanted to do with this album. And I think for me, it's like, what I want the listener to understand through this is that I'm trying to create an atmosphere where art and intellectual capacity can coexist. Because there is this sort of stigma, at least what I've noticed, and, you know, it may be true, it may not be true, it's just sort of from my perspective, of the drummer being the sort of archaic figure in a band. There are all those funny drummer jokes about how we just bang on things and we're just like the dumb guy in the background. But I think what I really want the listener to get from this is that, no, we have the capacity to create atmospheres and engage in intellectual conversation, communication, and interaction, you know? And I want the atmospheres that I've created in this album to sort of reflect that.
So what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? What do you look forward to the most every day?
You know, there are so many things that I look forward to, but I think the primary thing is that I really look forward every day to getting up and doing what I love. You know, not everybody has that opportunity. And when you're gifted with that opportunity, you take advantage of it. So the fact that I get to do what I love and make some money doing it, that's incredible, you know, and I'm grateful every day for that.
So if you could get into a jazz time machine and go back in time, yeah, to DeLorean and see a show,
yeah,
where are you going? Who are you going to see?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I would probably go, I'd probably see the Chick Webb Orchestra at the Savoy Ballroom.
That is a first, man. I've never heard Chick Webb. It's always
you never heard Chick Webb?
Never, dude. Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
It's always, yeah, it's always, you know, Miles, the Usual Suspects, Coltrane,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Bird,
Coltrane,
things
Monk.
Like that. Yeah, that's like a real early shout of jazz right there with Chick, for sure.
Yeah.
Everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of who you are. Who do you think you are?
That's a good question. I would say, you know, I come from the mindset that I come from my whole life has been rooted in meditative and Buddhist sort of philosophy. So when someone asks me who I am, I guess the most authentic answer would be, I don't know. But if you're speaking from an artistic point of view, I'm someone that uses his platform and his artistic capacity to send messages and to create atmospheres that affect people in a way that changes their life for the better. That's who I'm trying to be.
So if anyone wants to pick up the game, where's the best place to go? And live shows, anything going on in your world, where's the best place for them to go?
Okay, so yeah. So the game, it's available on all streaming platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, etc. You can also pre-order a physical copy on my website, johnnysteeldrums.com. That's johnnysteele drums.com. And then you can also order it on Merch Bar, and you can order it on Bands in Town as well. As far as shows are concerned, I'm currently touring with Matthew Whitaker, so a lot of my schedule's booked up, but we're hoping to get something soon for my group.
That's cool. Yeah, no, that's great. Johnny, thank you for opening up, giving me a minute of your time. Good luck with the album and everything that comes forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in San Diego, Kansas City, New York City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Johnny for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.